Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, October 7th. I'm Abby Larico. While it was better than the U.S. Department of Agriculture initially forecasted, agricultural income will be down this year.
It's a situation that obviously is difficult for the farmer because they are getting squeezed. Profitability on the farm is going to be very difficult to come by.
A look at what's led to the drop in income and what that may mean for farmers in the Midwest this year, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Today marks 1 year since Hamas fighters attacked southern Israel, killing more than 1,200 civilians and taking more than 200 people hostage. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the attack and Israel's ongoing bombardment of Palestinian-held territories continues to inspire local responses.
St. Louisans have drawn attention to the Hamas attacks and the war in Gaza in many ways. Protests against Israel's attacks on Gazan civilians embroiled St. Louis area college campuses. At the same time, similar protests in New York and California grabbed national headlines. Jewish groups staged vigils to support the hostages and raised money for Israeli families who lost loved ones in the Hamas attack. The conflict affected local politics, with pro-Israel groups pouring in millions of dollars to help Wesley Bell defeat Congresswoman Cori Bush in the Democratic primary. The Jewish Federation of St. Louis is holding a one-year remembrance event tonight. More information is available on its website. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
A set of polls commissioned by the Midwest Newsroom reveals what registered voters in Missouri, plus Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska, are thinking about a wide range of political and social issues just 1 month before the general election. Midwest Newsroom data journalist Daniel Wheaton reports.
The poll results show about 70% of registered voters in the four states believe the U.S. is on the wrong track ahead of the election. Among other findings, most respondents oppose book bans, support abortion access, believe lawmakers are not working in the best interests of their state, and that a four-year college degree is not worth the cost. Camille Mumford of Emerson College Polling said the project was unique.
This is a great opportunity for us to get to combine our knowledge in pre-election polling and our knowledge in, studying voters and studying general populations of states and really dive into the issues by getting informed by your reporters.
Emerson College Polling surveyed 1,000 registered voters in each state between late September and early October. I'm Daniel Wheaton for the Midwest Newsroom.
You can find more on these poll results on our website, stlpr.org. Wednesday is the deadline to register to vote in Missouri. A federal judge in Missouri blocked President Joe Biden's latest student loan forgiveness plan. The order last week came a day after a federal judge in Georgia decided to let its pause on Biden's new plan expire because the state failed to prove the plan would cause significant harm. The case was then transferred to Missouri, which is suing on behalf of the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority. The state argued debt forgiveness would hurt the loan servicing organization by decreasing its number of borrowers. Six other Republican-led states joined Missouri's suit. Democratic U.S. Senate hopeful Lucas Kuntz wants to put an end to the filibuster, which has often blocked major policy initiatives for years. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum talked to him about it on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris says she would support a carve-out for the filibuster to expand abortion rights nationwide. But Kuntz would like to go a step further and eliminate the filibuster altogether, which would mean contested legislation would no longer need 60 votes to pass.
When the threshold becomes 60, it's a lot easier to just buy off a couple people than if the threshold is 50. And so for me, I think the filibuster is a tool to maintain a status quo that just doesn't work for most of us.
Democrats won't be able to scrap the filibuster unless they retain the majority in the November 5th elections. And even that may not happen if their caucus is not completely on board with that plan. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Prominent Missouri Republicans are making an overt play for the state's trade union members. Kuntz's opponent, GOP Senator Josh Hawley, has made overtures to organized labor recently, including reversing his position on right to work, which bars unions and employers from requiring workers to pay dues. Hawley is hoping to gain support from white working-class voters without college degrees. Billy Crow, a Republican sheet metal worker from Arnold, says Hawley could be tapping into curiosity from union members.
If they're willing to make the change and listen and hear those things, all more power to them.
Most organized labor groups have endorsed Kuntz over Hawley. Missouri University of Science and Technology and two community colleges are teaming up to try and expand the state's high-tech manufacturing workforce. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports on how they will use a $9 million state grant.
Rolla High School students are competing by launching small rubber balls using catapults they made. It's part of a Missouri S&T outreach program to get kids interested in making things. S&T will expand programs like this one. Rick Billow is S&T's Director of Advanced Manufacturing. He says there's a need for job training in places like Rolla.
Those rural areas, a lot of the young people want to go back home. And so we looked at what's the opportunity for them. 80% of the manufacturers in Missouri are in the rural counties.
S&T, East Central College, and St. Charles Community College are also developing training and degree programs specifically focused on high-tech manufacturing. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Plans to build a St. Louis version of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, along with new senior housing units, are moving forward following a Board of Aldermen vote Friday. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
Board members voted 13-0 to approve a redevelopment plan and blight study for the museum in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood. The development also includes senior housing units. Developers expect it to cost about $17.6 million, but the bill will allow up to 15 years of tax abatement. Alderwoman Laura Keyes sponsored the bill. In a September Aldermanic Committee meeting, she said after years of disinvestment in the neighborhood, this will help bring some things around.
To watch the steady decline and disinvestment. And now we are at a point where we can begin to see some light coming through the cracks.
Former Land Reutilization Authority properties will be used for the space. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Over the last 2 years, agriculture in the United States has been riding the highs of elevated crop prices and record incomes, but farm income is projected to dip this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports on what that means for farmers and the larger ag economy.
After days of rain, fifth-generation Illinois farmer Nick Kohler is finally able to get into his cornfields.
Now today is a beautiful day for harvest, nice blue skies.
The last couple of years, the prices were really good for Kohler's corn, wheat, and soybeans, meaning a pretty good profit. But this year, with lower crop prices and thinner profit margins, he's thinking twice about spending on big items.
We're kind of at the necessity purchases right now. If we need something, we're going to make it work. But, you know, we're not going to maybe look to upgrade anything this year.
As Kohler starts up his combine, he says he'd rather fix big equipment like this than trade it in. That fiscal caution among farmers like Kohler is already impacting the ag equipment sector. The biggest player in this space is John Deere.
It's the first year of a downturn.
That's Mig Dobre. He's an analyst of John Deere for the financial firm Baird. Dobre has watched as Deere's equipment sales dropped by 20% last quarter. In turn, the ag machinery giant has cut production, and that's led to hundreds of layoffs in states like Iowa and Illinois.
In our opinion, this is going to stretch into 2025. It's pretty unlikely to experience a one-year downturn when it comes to farm equipment demand. These downturns are usually anywhere between 2 to 4 years. And our view is that this one is probably going to be probably a 2 to 2.5 year downturn.
And Dobre says Deere isn't alone. Initially, the U.S. Department of Agriculture thought the broader ag economy was going to be much worse. Earlier this year, the USDA projected farm income would dip 26% from last year. This fall, the agency updated its projections. Instead, farm income will drop by just 4.5%. Agricultural economics professor Joe Jansen at the University of Illinois says farm income is returning to more normal levels.
It's a situation that obviously is difficult for the farmer because they are getting squeezed. Profitability on the farm is going to be very difficult to come by, but that's sort of not anything that U.S. agriculture is doing. It's driven largely by global commodity markets.
Global supply has grown, meaning there's less demand for U.S. crops, and that's driven prices down. With less money coming in, some farmers are also holding off on buying land. Tim Johnson is an area vice president for Farmers National Company, which specializes in ag real estate. Johnson says prime farmland is still generating demand, but lower tier farms, not as much. Johnson says interest rates are also a factor.
When you deal with the volume of what these land prices are, that interest rate really adds up quickly. And so that truly causes a level of conservatism to come into play.
Land is a tricky one, though. It may only become available when a neighbor retires or someone dies, meaning farmers might have to take the risk even when the economics aren't working in their favor. And another trend economists are seeing is that farmers are taking on a little more debt. Economist Ty Kreitman with the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says that makes sense since farmers don't have as much liquidity, meaning cash, as they did before.
The past couple years, loan demand was sort of subdued because there was a lot of liquidity. And now we're sort of seeing that liquidity is sort of running down, and now we're seeing higher usage of debt.
And the USDA is projecting that bankruptcy rates will increase in 2024 after record lows last year. At the same time, there are some bright spots. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates by 0.5 point this fall and could make more cuts later this year, making loans less expensive in the long run. In Godfrey, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.